Well, good morning again, everybody, and welcome again to Life Changing Ministry. We thank you for coming. We thank you for the Word of God going forth today that will pass peace, will have the peace of God, and will be in the peace of God with the love of God with so much understanding. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for your presence. I thank you, Lord God, that is all of you and none of me. Speak to my mind and speak to my vocal cords. Let something be said to minister to your people. And Father God, we thank you right now for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk about something that's going to encourage your spirit, encourage your life, which here at the Word, at church, you always should get something to encourage you, to motivate you, to make you want to stay closer to Jesus. How many of y'all know Jesus is real? Yes, he is. Even with that last song we played by Miss Winers, C.C. Winers, I believe you can feel his presence. If you tap in, you can feel his presence. His presence is in a place. If you allow it to come forth, his presence is in a place. His peace is there. He's a tangible person. It's amazing to me how you can feel his presence that can give you peace in a time of trouble. Well, today we're going to talk about something to encourage you. We're going to talk about the power of righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous? What righteousness really is? And I'm going to encourage you to study the book of Romans during this time, because you have to read the Word of God for yourself to bring you strength to understand what the Word is. Righteousness, when you look at it in the dictionary, is righteousness is conduct or morally right, justifiable, or a divine moral law or a moral compass of righteousness, to do the right thing. How many know as Christians we should do the right thing? As Christians we should have integrity and character and those things. We should give to the poor. We should do all those things. But I'm going to show you something today that even with all of that, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you're not righteous. Good deeds are good. Doing good things for other people is nice. Having character and integrity is good. But if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you're not righteous. Go to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 21. We're going to talk about some things today, and I'm going to be in the book of Romans and all of that because I want you to study things out on your own, but you have to be understanding what righteousness is and what it means to be righteous. In Proverbs 21, verse 21. It says, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life." Now, when you find righteousness here in the scripture in Proverbs, it says you find life. I'm going to show you through the word. Finding life is finding Christ. When you find Christ, you find peace. You find hope. You find joy. When you have those things, you find those things that's going on. You want to make sure that you want to make sure that you have those things going on in your life. The peace of God, the love of God, and the righteousness of God. So I want you to say this. So how many know just doing good things don't make you, it may feel a little better buying something for the poor, giving to people. Those things are good. You feel good for a moment. But I'm trying to show you internally how through Christ, righteousness is something that you obtain through the blood of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You're going to be show you through the word how you're righteous through Christ dying on the cross for your sins, how that makes you righteous. Not deeds or doing things. You should do that, but I'm going to show you, you must have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to understand what righteousness really is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I'm going to read that again. Say, for he made him, which is him, who he's talking about. He made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So here in this scripture, we see that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, that we may have a connection back to God. See, that connection was broken between us and God when what took place? Adam and Eve, right? When Adam and Eve sinned and they what they did in the garden, that separated us, where we did not have that connection back with God. It was gone. So when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that gave us that connection what? Back to who? God. So when you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So when you have that connection with God, so I'm showing you today, righteousness is something more than just doing good things. Righteousness is something you have within your spirit and your soul when you get born again. Now righteousness is there. Now we just read the scripture again. I'll read it again so you see it. For he made him to be sin. God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness of God in him. Say this with me. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. So when you start to understand that, I'm saying that because it gets in your spirit. The righteousness of God. Righteousness is a when your spirit, when you get born again, your spirit now changes. The spirit that you once had now changes, and now you have the spirit of Christ. See, one of the evidence of when you become a Christian, when you get Christ's spirit in you, the things that you used to do wrong because of the righteousness now in you, you don't want to do that wrong anymore. That does not make you perfect. That's not saying you're not going to make any mistakes. But what's the difference is the identifier is that in your heart, you began to change because you have now Christ in you that makes you want to do what's what? Right. Christ is in you to make you want to live right. Christ is in you when sin comes and wants to try to take over. Now, Christ is in you as the governor, I would say, the buffer to say, I don't want to do that no more. Or I can't do that. Why? Because I have righteousness in me. Christ is in me. The hope of glory in me. Why are we talking? Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Christ is living inside you once you accept him. I hear some people say, we are all God's children. I say, no, you're not all God's child. If you have not accepted Christ, you don't belong to Christ. I'm going to say it again. If you not have accepted Christ, you don't belong to Christ. You have a choice to make to become a born-again believer and accept Christ. And when you do that, that's what makes you right. That's what makes you righteous because of those things. And when you do that, now you have a moral compass and you're convicted when you do things wrong. If you say you have Christ in your life and doing wrong and there's no conviction, you might need to check your salvation card. You may ask God, if I've done wrong and I'm not convicted by it, am I saved? Am I convicted? Why am I not being convicted by it? Am I say I'm a Christian and I'm continually doing wrong? Part of it may be you have confessed Christ, but another part, are you reading God's word to produce change within you? I'm going to read chapter Romans chapter 5, and this I want you to read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 this week, because we're going to be talking about righteousness for at least a few Sundays, but I want you to get understanding. But I want you to read this, and this is more like when you read this in Romans, it's going to be almost like reading a book, but it's understanding. Romans chapter 5, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, who? Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope making not ashamed, because of the love of God, a shed abroad us in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the what? Ungodly. I read it again. Christ died for the ungodly. So when you hear the saying that people say, we all belong to God. No, we was created by God. But if you don't choose God, you don't belong to God. Does that make sense? if you don't accept Christ and say, Lord, I want to be on your team, they're just like coming to my house. If you come to my house and I don't know you, I'm not going to let you in my house. Well, the same thing when it comes to God. Once you accept God, if you don't accept Christ, now you have mercy, grace, and all those things that God is doing, wanting you to come into his kingdom. But if you don't accept Christ into it and come into his kingdom, you don't belong to God. You have to accept him, to choose him, to be with him. And this is what verse I'm at. What verse I stopped at? Verse 5. And hope maketh it out of shame, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we were yet without strength, in due Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for our righteous man we won die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I want to make some understanding on something. Once you get saved and you confess Christ and you're righteous, you are no more labeled as a what? Sinner. You're not labeled as a sinner. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Can you be forgiven? Yes. But you're no labeled as a sinner. Just like I like sports. My favorite team is Golden State Warriors. But if I'm on the Golden State Warriors team, I no longer play for the Lakers. You play for the Golden State Warriors. Same thing, I'm trying to give an example. Once you become a Christian or accept Christ, you're not labeled a sinner no more. Now you're labeled as righteousness through Christ Jesus. Now you're righteous by the blood of Jesus, by Christ dying on the cross for your sins. You read verse 8, it says, but God commanded his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us for sinners. He died because sin was in the world. See, what happened was when Adam and Eve, God had it, when Adam and God had such communication with Adam and Eve, with Adam and Eve, the communication, he honestly could talk audibly, it says, when I study it on. But when sin entered in the garden, and a lot of people say the snake, yeah, he used the snake. The snake was a subtle serpent that was the devil used to speak to Eve to bring evil back in the world by disobeying God. See, what evil is disobeying what God's word says about you. When that snake said, who says you got to do what God says to do? Eve began to think, what you mean? Who says you got to not eat of this tree? If you eat of this tree, you're going to have this. So the devil, it said, the devil used the snake and subtly started talking to Eve through the snake. And remember I said it before, Adam and Eve had so much dominion. This is how much power you got as Christians. They had so much dominion over the earth that they even, if you read or study it out, they had some type of communication with the animals. Somebody said, what you mean by that? Because when that snake spoke to Eve, if that was something uncommon, what you think Eve would have did? Ah! When that snake said, Eve, who said this ungodly for you? Eve just sat there and started listening. Because they were used to having some kind of dominion communication with the animal. So the Eve, but the snake was poisoned set up by Satan and started speaking to her and started saying things contrary to what God's word had told him to do, what God had told him to do. See, that's something that when it comes to the enemy, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He saw how much dominion that they had over the earth. He was jealous of the fact that, remember, once the enemy, he once was an archangel. He once had dominion in heaven. He once was close to God. And when his pride was found out and he was kicked out of heaven and he didn't have that dominion anymore, now his job is to try to stop you from getting to God's presence. When you get in God's presence, you have peace. When you get in God's presence, you have power. When you get in God's presence, you have provision. And also when you get in God's presence, he can give you plans. Peace, power, provision, plans. He'll show you where's a way out of what you're going through. He'll show you that there's a way of escape no matter what's going on in your life. That's the reason for you also being righteous, because you're connected to God, because you want to hear his voice in a time of the trouble. So when Jesus, it says, for we were yet without strength, that in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So here you go, how it happened. And if you read on, I'm going to read some more. But if you read on now, why it happened, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, and that happened, and they lost that communication what they once had with God, it frustrated God. He said, I created my people to serve me. I miss having that communication with them. What can I do? So here go him and his son in heaven talking. He said, son, I miss talking to the people. What can I do? And Jesus said, well, I tell you what God said. When you go down there, we got to come up with a plan. Now, remember, God is God of purpose. We got to go. I'm going to send you down there. And you got to go through a mother. You got to go through a person's womb. You got to go through Mary. You got to have someone. We're going to find somebody who's righteous on the earth. Find somebody who's loving God. Find somebody who want to do that. And the plan is you got to go through her, get on the earth, die on the cross, and bring my people back to me. And this ain't going to happen overnight. We got to find somebody who's righteous, which was Mary. We got to find somebody we can start this plan with, and the process is going to take time. Jesus didn't start preaching until he was 33 and a half. He was 30. Stopped preaching when he was 33. He started preaching at 30. But what got me with this, too, when you stated this out, and we're getting on Romans still, but notice what the plan, see, sometimes people think when you're being righteous, it's not going around thinking you're better than somebody else, or Miss Goody Two Shoes, or you think you're top of the level. God needs righteous people in the earth so he can provide his provision, and he can provide his plan. Remember the story when Jesus was, they was looking, when this took place, it said Jesus had to find somebody. He found Jesus, but for the plan to work, he had to find somebody to let be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So if you read the scripture, when it come out, he found who? Mary. Mary was a woman that was a godly woman. Mary was a woman that seeked God and loved God. Mary was so holy that her and her man Joseph, they was not having sex before marriage because they wanted God to intervene in their lives. So as God searched the earth to create this plan he had, the plan now, I need to get my son on the earth. I can't just send him out spiritually. I have to have a system to do it. He has to go through a person. He has to come out as a baby and go through the system. So guess what? Who did he find righteous on the earth? Mary. Could have been anybody else. Could have been Mary. Could have been Beth. It could have been. But he was watching Mary's life. God down watching Mary. Look at Mary. She's living holy. She's serving me. She could be something that's noble to me. And while Mary was out serving God one day, the angel came to Mary and said, Mary. And Mary was afraid. She said, your angel said, you have found favor with God. God wants to use you for something for his kingdom. See, when you're doing righteous in you and you're doing what's right in God is in your heart, God now is looking for people he can use on this earth. God needs you on this earth so he can use you on this earth. God needs you on this earth so he can do things on the earth. So here go the story. Mary said, be unto me according to thy word. And Mary was impregnated by who? The Holy Spirit, right? She was impregnated. Now, which something about it, when you have righteousness in you, God will make things look impossible possible. I'm going to say this to clarify some stuff. Ain't nobody else going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit but Mary. So don't come with that deep stuff. So I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That ain't happening. Only one person was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, which was Mary. But to clarify some things, that when you have God, that looked like something that was impossible. Can you imagine how it was with Mary when she went before her family, her friends, and all the stuff that people were saying to her, that you and Joseph had to have done something? What you mean you pregnant by the Holy Spirit? That don't make sense. It got to the point that Joseph was frustrated that she was saying that Joseph was being persecuted by friends and family and people at church, that he was going to leave her. And Joseph had a dream from God, and the angel came to Joseph and said, no, Joseph, don't leave her. This is of God. And he was able to lead her, and he got with her and led and got her. See, that was a plan that God had to bring Jesus here on the earth, so we can get closer to God and connect back to God, because he found someone that was righteous here on the physical earth. See, a righteous person, you're not, like I said, you're not doing it to be goody good twos. You're not going to say you're better than somebody else. You're doing it and you're serving God, of course, to hear his voice, but also so he can give you a perfect plan on this earth that can bring you what? Success. A perfect plan on this earth that can bring you success. And when Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, the plan started. How many plans God needs on this earth that we can get people out? For one thing, out to do things that God can put in you to get things going on this earth where people get to know Christ, where people get closer to Jesus. That's one of the perfect plans you can have. I said this to myself, and I'm looking at some goals I'm working on, and I thank God. I said, Lord, thank you for it, but the biggest plan you can have in your life is for you to have some type of relationship with Jesus Christ. If you die and leave this world and you have not got to know Jesus for yourself and you stand before him and he said, depart from me, worker of iniquity, all those things don't mean nothing. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being successful. There's nothing wrong with owning your own business and going to school and succeeding on your job, get your degrees, all that. Do everything. But at the main thing, the purpose, if you have not got to know Christ for yourself, your own relationship, have you not heard that still small voice in your side, your spirit, to know that he exists, then you have wasted the time that God has given you. A righteous person also is a person that walks in the peace of God. A person that says, no matter what happened in my life, I know that God will provide a way of escape for me because I'm righteous in Christ. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. His seed begging bread. His seed is someone who's connected to God. Say, I've never seen those people fail. Don't say I ain't never seen them go through. This say I never seen them get weary. This say I never seen them get frustrated sometimes. But the righteous ones, the ones that's in the family of God, now he said, I've never seen those people forsaken. Never seen them fail in God. If you have you have to know what spirit is in you. You have the righteousness of God inside of you once you accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. He's living and breathing now on the inside of you. And guess what? He want to talk to you. He want to give you answers to your problem. He don't want you weary and down and frustrated and hopeless and despairing and think there's no way out of nothing. That's the purpose for Christ. Everywhere Jesus showed up, he gave them a way out. When somebody was blind, Jesus came and touched them and they said, I see. When someone's hand was withered up, he touched it and straightened it out. When something happened, when they came in contact with Jesus, what happened? Their life seemed to get better. When you see stuff on TV or stuff like when you become a Christian, all this stuff you go through, you'll go through some things. But if you have the light of Christ in you, the hope of God in you, your life should improve. We told Peter to take that net and throw it out there. And Peter wasn't getting no fish at the time. Peter said, man, I ain't getting no fish. I want to throw the net out there, Peter. Peter took the net and threw it out. Once he pulled that net, well, it was so much fish that Peter had to give it away. He was like, my God, man. All this fish you got. So when you come to Christ, another form of righteousness is God now will start to work on you. He start wanting to get things out of you so you could be more in his image, more like him. And when you could be more like him, now he can start to talk to you about your life. I'm still in Romans chapter 5. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for us, died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There we go again. Say it with me. I am no longer a sinner. I am righteous through Christ. So you're not labeled as a sinner no more. You know how some folks say, well, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I used to hear folks say that, but guess what? That's not right. That's saying you once was a sinner. And once you became, the glory of God came and interjected your life, now you're righteous through Christ. That's not saying you won't make any mistakes. You will make mistakes. Things will happen, but you're no longer labeled as a sinner. You don't have to let that sin remain in your life. You are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ, or the righteousness of Christ in you through God who strengthens you. Like I read in the scripture, it says, when we were yet without strength. See, when you ain't got God, there's only a limited amount of strength you have. You may have physical strength. You may have some money. You can have all those. But internally, something is missing if you don't have that relationship with Christ. without strength. In due time, Christ died for us without strength. But he gave you that strength now to endue. You've now been endued with the power of God to give you that strength now to let you go beyond what it seems in this world. That's why in this world, you need God to lead and guide you. You need God to help you and to give you divine instruction and direction and protection. There is such thing as protection from God. One day I got to teach on the angels of God and all the rights you got as a Christian, that angels actually are at your dispense. Who wouldn't want to be saved knowing all the power you have as a Christian? But the world has decided to make it weak and not something strong to be. If you knew how much power you had as a born-again believer, you would serve God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And if you make a bad decision or do something wrong, you would quickly repent because you don't want to affect that relationship that God has to protect you, to bring success to you. While we're here, we go, hold your finger in Romans. Go to Jeremiah 29 and 11. Hold your finger in Romans. We're going to go back to Romans. He wants to bring you success in every area of your life. He wants to bring you peaceful. He wants to bring you joy. He wants to be that help in the time of trouble. Jeremiah 29, 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." Thoughts of what? Peace. Thoughts of what? Peace. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. Thoughts of peace. That means God thinking thoughts of peace for you and me. Thoughts of peace for us to succeed. Thoughts of joy to us. That's the thought that he's thinking now. Because he says, now you belong to me. I have a right to lead and guide you. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Remember, I'm going to read verse 8. It said, "But God commanded," Romans chapter 5 verse 8, "but God commanded his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Much more being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through who?" Through him. Through who? Jesus. Through him. From wrath through him. We shall be saved from wrath through him. "For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." Now you're reading the scriptures, it's like reading the book. "Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Whose life? Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and resurrecting and coming back alive. That's the life he's talking about. "Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received an atonement. Wherefore, as one man sin entered into the world." What man was that? That was Adam. "And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who in his figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offensive of of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift of by grace, which is by man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. And not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift that gift for the judgment was one to condemnation, but the free gift is many offensive unto justification." Let me explain. The free gift. What's the free gift? The free gift is Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. The free gift is you accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. That's a free gift. You don't have to pay a price for that. You don't have to pay nobody no money for that. You got to send a cash app or give somebody something to get this free gift. It's a free gift that God gives unto you. And if you keep reading on down, verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment by one of the condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification.
For it by one man offense death reigned, what one much more that which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness. Say it with me. Righteousness is a gift. It's a gift that God has given me and you. It's a gift that we can accept them in our life. It's a gift to accept the righteousness. When you give somebody a gift, you don't expect nothing in return. Now you give somebody a gift for their birthday, you know, you give them a gift. You give somebody a gift for Christmas or Valentine's Day. Or whenever you get a gift, you give them a gift. That's a gift that God says, I give this gift to you. This gift of righteousness, this gift of freedom from what goes on in the world. But if you don't accept this free gift, you don't accept the hope that you have. It's a free gift. It's free. So, for as by one man disobedience, verse 19, many were made sinners. What are they talking about? Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Righteous. Many have been made righteous. One made Adam. Did wrong. That will happen. That was the one. But so by obedience, one shall many be made righteous. Who was obedient? Jesus. Jesus said, okay, God, I'll do it. I give up all this stuff. I step down from Wakanda and take off my robe and take all. I go through all of that stuff, Lord. So now I gave all of that up. Can you imagine how much authority that Jesus had, that they bowed to him? He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, God. Hey, son. Hey, Jesus. King of Kings, how you doing? He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was willing to take the crown off and give up the robe and go down in the woman's womb, come out of that woman's womb as Jesus Christ, go through what he went through. And so we could have a reconnection back to the Father. Powerful. The why Jesus is such a powerful man, you could ever read about or talk about. Jesus is the only one we know that came and died on the cross for our sins. And what? He rose again. Every other person you read about, there's no other person you read about who came back and rose from the dead. He conquered death. He destroyed death 100%. Jesus is the one that came to set you completely free. Now, it's things that I can, and I'm going to talk some more, but when you get a chance, I want you to read the book of Romans. Romans, you'll understand it more now. And I'm going to show you some more things in Romans that when it came to the point of even you confessing Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, Romans laughed. Add all up to this. And then when they said, once you understand all of these righteous things that Jesus did for you, once you understand all that Jesus has done for you and set you free, now you will say, Romans 10, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. You believe that he died on the cross. Believe that he's the righteous one. Believe that he can set you free. Now you will confess it. Now that I've built your spirit up, now that you heard Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, now you start saying, wait a minute, he did all that for me. He died on the cross for all my sins. He set me free. He was willing to take every lashing he took. You know, if you read it, every stripe that Jesus took on the cross, it meant something. It had a purpose behind it. I saw one picture I had that I saw that had all the stripes of Jesus whipped on his back and had one said for depression, one said for cancer. I should say, it should, even if I say COVID wouldn't exist, I say it's for COVID too if it's there. Because you as a Christian, you have to believe that every stripe that Jesus took, he took that for you because now you're in his kingdom. And anything that the devil tries to do in this world, you have the authority to overcome it. You have the authority to win and defeat it because you're made righteous through him. A righteous person is protected. He or she provides a way of escape in their lives as a righteous person. I want you to go to Psalm. We're going to go back to Romans. Go to Psalm 91. I want you to read this as a righteous person and understand what rights you have as a Christian. If you do that, you don't have to let sin dwell amongst your life. You don't have to be labeled as a sinner no more. You're not. You're righteous through Christ. You have to say, I don't have to do those things that the world do anymore to control me and lead and guide me. I have the Spirit of God in me to overcome that. If you have that in your mindset, that righteousness, when you look at these scriptures now, it's something that's for you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God will I trust. That's from one who's made Him righteous in his life. Surely He shall deliver thee. He didn't say He might. He said, surely He shall deliver me thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noose and peddler. That's even COVID. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thy trust. For thou shalt be the buckler, because I made righteous. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fouleth by day. Why? Because I've been made righteous. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasteth at noonday. Why? Because I've been made righteous. 1,000 shall fall to thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Why? Because I've been made righteous. Why? Because I have the blood of Jesus over my life. Because of that. Now you read this scripture with power and authority to know I've been made righteous. Now I have God's protection over me. Say, I'm righteous. I'm righteous through God. I have God's protection in my life. God has, he has it over you. Then when you read it now, you read this as a righteous person. Being Psalm 91, sir. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge or my protection, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you've been made righteous. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. Why? Because I've been made what? Righteous. People saying, plague come now, my dwelling. I'm not knocking nobody who's taking the vaccine and all that. Folk come to me and they say, well, Brother Mitchell, you should have took the vaccine, or this going on, and people trying to convince you on what they say. I said, let me tell you something. At the end of the day, first my vaccine is I got faith in God 100%. Ain't just something I'm saying, I believe it. That when I'm around folks, I was just somewhere where I was with 109 officers. And they, I don't know who could have had COVID. Yeah, I had my mask on and did everything I was supposed to do. But I still had to believe within my spirit that God was the center of my protection. Now, if you want to take the vaccine, hey man, you do it. But at the end of the day, you can't have faith in that more than you got faith in God. If you feel peace about doing it, then go do it. I'm not going to judge nobody for doing it. But at the end of the day, you still got to know that God is my healer. He's my refuge and my fortress. He's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. He's my God. He's going to take care of me. Because I could be somewhere and somebody could have it and I not know it. And I not know it. At the end of the day, you got to know God is my refuge. He is my source. And believe that with inside and not just say it as a religious status, but know it in your spirit that He is my source. So first my vaccine is Psalm 91 that I believe, for He shall give His angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's because you're righteous. Makes more sense to you now. For He shall give His angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. 1,000 shall tread upon thy lion, an adder, a young lion, and the dragon shall trample on the feet, because He has set His love upon me. That's a person who's righteous. Therefore will I deliver him. That's a person who's righteous. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. That's somebody who's righteous. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. He didn't say I might. He said I will answer him. He will answer you. What's a powerful thing as a Christian? You have a connection that you could talk to God Himself. Through Jesus, of course. You could talk to God. You could talk to the one that created this world. Who know the end from the beginning? He's Alpha and Omega. He's everything. You can talk to Him through you. So as a righteous person, you have a right now to talk to God through Jesus. Amen. Say it again. I am the righteousness of God. You have a right to what the Word of God says about you. This is your, a lot of folks you say Bible was basic instructions before leaving earth. I say the best instructions. Ain't nothing basic about it to me no more.
If you could get instruction that God is a healer, when the doctor says, you'll never get healed, you're going to die from this thing. You can't make it. A righteous person said, thank you for your instructions. Now I have to go to the one who instructed the world and made the world. And let me get peace from my God that passeth all understanding. And when the world is talking that stuff, the word talks to you in your spirit. And the word says, by his stripes you're healed. You know what's so powerful? God can tailor the word to tell you something for your personal life. That's called revelation knowledge. You can be reading the word and you need something for your spirit and nobody can give you an answer. And as you read it, behind the word, something comes out. And you go, oh my God. And God gives you revelation for you. Tailor fit just for you. Custom fit for you. They give you an answer. You go, whoo. And the light comes on. You go, oh God, you done did it again. God said, yeah. That's why he wants a relationship with you, not a religion. A spiritual awakening. If a man or woman has that spiritual awakening, their life begins to change. And I can go through all, I want you to get a chance, read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8. I'll read a few more things here, but I'm not going to do all that through church service. Read it for yourself. But if you, like I said, and when you read the word, like we read Psalm 91, that is a person who's righteous in God, who has rights as a believer to believe what God can do. I remember I was maybe, how long ago was it? Not even, maybe 2 years ago, maybe, yeah. And I going out of South Carolina to see my dad, and this deer came and hit the car. And it looked like even when the deer hit like something, even when the sheriffs came and said, it looked like something came and threw that deer away out the way. He said, what kind of car you got? I said, I was driving that little Nissan. Something threw that deer. I believe God's angel said, get out of the way. You can't hurt this one. This man, he's righteous. I got to protect him. And God sent folks around that I didn't even know. He said, I'm going to sit here with you the whole time to make sure you all right. Didn't know him from Adam. Well, tell me God won't do stuff for you. You got to see God in heaven looking down on your life, wants to make you good. He wants to make you better. He wants to improve your life. So if it's things in your life that God is telling you to get rid of, it's because he's trying to preserve you for success. He want to see you better. Say it with me, God want to see me better. He want to see you whole. He want to see you well. He want to see you succeed in everything in your life. And if you look at God like that, you'll want to keep serving. If you make a mistake, I ain't going to get up, get back up, repent, ask God to forgive you. But don't stay in the midst of the sin, because sin is captivity and it's designed to keep you down where you can't hear God's presence, his voice, where you get into condemnation and doubt and disbelief. Anything contrary, if the word says not to do it, follow what the word says. Don't make loopholes for sin, because Satan's job is to kill, steal, and what? Destroy your purpose and destiny that God has for you. My enemy was subtle. Anytime anybody or anything that comes at you, subtle, trying to make an excuse for what the word says, you watch that. Subtle. The snake came subtle to Eve and said, who said? And Eve began to thought. If it ain't lining up with the word, what the word says, you reject the thoughts of it or the words of it, because it's not lining up with what God's word says. Because the devil jive, he don't want you to finish strong. But I always tell you, the biggest thing the enemy is afraid of is what? A Christian who's developed. See, as a pastor's heart, I love to see people developed, growing, progressing, getting better. The devil don't want to know how powerful you are. The devil wants you to stay defeated and down. The devil want to bring sin back in your life so you can't function fully as a Christian on this physical earth. That whatever comes your way, you have the power to win and overcome and conquer it. But the devil jive, he comes up with strategies to try to stop you from your destiny. I mean, one song I think about Marvin Sapp, where they say, the devil peeped into your future and saw your destiny, and he wanted to stop you because he was afraid of what you was becoming. He was afraid that you was a threat to his kingdom. See, a righteous person, as you grow in God, the ability you have is not through your strength, it's through his strength. But he needs a physical body on this earth to execute the things to get going. Just like he needed Mary. He said, Mary, I need you on this earth to bring this plan to pass. Jesus. He sent Jesus down. Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She had the baby, went through the things she went through, but that was a plan that God had to strategically set up for that to take place. Just like in my life, your life, all of our life, God has a plan for you. And sin, God can forgive the sin. What sin God hates with sin is blocking the blessing so you can't hear God's voice. It's blocking the blessing where you can't have the divine protection. Because another part of divine protection, God may be trying to tell you not to do something, you're doing it anyway, and God said, don't go down this road today. I don't go down this path today. But because you're all in the sin is a cloud of misjudgment. And you make those bad decisions. But if you have a cloud of pureness to make those good decisions, a righteous person does what's right because of the Spirit of God in them. But also a righteous person does what's right because they don't want to mess their connection up with who? God. I said it at Bible study night. I was like the Ebel effect. I got to show me like an Ebel effect or what you call it in man. We have Ebel effect. So you got God here, Jesus at the angle of it, like a right angle, I guess. Right angle, left angle. Yeah. God here, Jesus here, and us here. God here, Jesus here, and us here. So it's like an angle effect. God, Jesus, us. God, Jesus, us. So as we come, as Christians, we come through Jesus to get to God, like a right angle. As Christians, we come through Jesus to get to God. So when you have that effect in your life, you know the Ebel of your life, or the right angle or left angle, however you want to say it, the part of that angle you want to get to Jesus to get to God, like A, B, C. That makes sense. So when you're saying the A, B, C, or the right angle reflect, I know math can't do it, but that's how God showed me. You have to always say, me coming to Jesus to get to God. Me coming to Jesus to get to God. And if I have that right angle effect in my life, God can help me solve any problem. You think hypothesis and all the stuff they got for math, I was okay in math, wasn't the best, but God showed me stuff. Anything they got, anything the world has to offer, God has an answer that's bigger than that. Anything that God has, anything in this world, if you see that God is bigger than what's in this world, if you see God on top and not on the bottom, if you see God as the beacon of light, if you see God as one that created this world in every aspect, he has the answers to every problem that's created or comes. The word says, trials and tribulation will come, but be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the troubles of the world. Guess what? Be ye of good cheer. Someone has good cheer. It's someone who knows I'm righteous through Christ, who knows I have a right because I'm connected to God through Jesus. I'm connected to God through Jesus.
And when you can
realize that effect, you'll stick with God at all times. Now, I want you to read Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then you understand 10. I'm going to get some more scripture because due time. When you understand the book of Romans of righteousness, how God made you righteous through his son Jesus. Now, when you realize that, once you understand all of that, in Romans 10, then it says if you confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved.
once you understand all these things that Jesus did for you, you accept them. You accept them. Now, go to 1 John chapter 1 John 2, verse 29. Make sure you read Romans. 1 John chapter 2. But for time's sake, I got to speed it up. I can't. If I could, I'd be here. But I know we at church. I got to show you, and you got to go back and study to show yourself through. 1 John chapter 2. It says, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Is born of him. So like I tell folks, and so righteousness comes from God. Good deeds come from man. I do good deeds. I give to the poor. Or I do these things. That's good. But we just read here, ye know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Good deeds don't make you righteous. You can knock on 1,000 doors. Ain't nothing wrong with that if you have to do it. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you're not righteous. That's just good deeds. I gave $100,000 to the poor. Oh, I'm a good man. Well, if you have not accepted Christ, you are not righteous. That's just a good deed. It's a good tax write-off. But if you have not accepted Christ in your heart, if you've not been born again, according to what the Bible says, not what Brother Mitchell says, you are not righteous. Good deeds, good works. Good deeds and good works is not what's going to get you into heaven. Although you should do good deeds. Although you should do good works. What's going to get you into heaven is when God looks at you, your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Or when he looks in your spirit, it's his son inside you. If not, guess what he's going to say? Depart from me. I never knew you. That word knew means I never had a relationship with you. And they don't say God says that arrogantly. I read one book that says, God says it with tears in his eyes. I said, I never knew you. I sent my son to die on the cross for your sins. I sent all this way for you to come to me. But I don't know you. I don't know you. Therefore, you can't come in. Depart from me. Worker of your own. It's not the sin. Sin is doing what you want to do. Sin is saying, I believe I can do what I want to do. I ain't got to have no God, nobody telling me what to do. I ain't got to have no moral compass. I can live how I want to live, how I want to do it. Then that's a sign that you don't have righteousness in you. Who wouldn't want to do what they want to do? Anybody, if you could, but there's a consequence behind it. Who would want to live their life any kind of way? Go out there and do whatever you want to do. You have to pay the piper. God's word is a beacon of light. The flesh may not like it. When you got Christ in you, the Spirit of God, it'll lead and guide you to all truth. And once it starts leading and guiding you, you start saying, oh my God, I should have been did this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because time is running out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. I'm going to read verse 33 on down. Verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. I don't know why. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Let me tell you something. As a born-again believer, the light has to be the light. You can be a, how can I say this, Lord? You can be a light to darkness. But you can't become the darkness. See, you could be around some people and you think you're trying to convert them and change them. But what you have to be careful of, if you're around that and that's trying to convert and change you. That's why I say, Evil communication corrupt good morals. Evil communication. What are you communicating with? What are you hanging around? You can't try to influence the darkness. You have to be a light sometime and move on. You know, as I get older, I realize something. When I meet folks, they're like, oh, man, you good people. I like hanging around you. Then one guy I went to training with, he was talking this and that. And then at the end of the conversation, he said, we started talking about the Lord. He said, well, I don't believe in the Lord. I don't believe he exists. He said, the guy said, I don't believe in the Lord. I don't believe in God. And I said to myself, in my spirit, boy, this relationship wasn't going to go so far. Because at the end of the day, the closer you get to me, I'm going to talk about God. The closer you get to me, so somebody to get close to me, to be a friend, as they say, you got to love Jesus. I can witness to you. I could be cool with you that way. You may like some goals, but to get really close to Brother Mitchell, you got to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Corrupt, but be not deceived. He said, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupt good morals. Think about it. When Eve went over and left Adam and was talking to that snake, was that evil communication? Yes. It was subtle. Who said you got to? Well, who said this wrong? This ain't really wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with this. Subtle. Evil communication. Corrupt good morals or manners. Watch the communication. Watch what you hang around. You have to continue to be the light. I like what it says in verse 34. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness. Spiritual awakening. Awake to righteousness. Like when you wake up, I'm awake. Awake to righteousness. You know, people can be awake naturally, but spiritually asleep. Or spiritually dead if you haven't accepted Christ. Once you accept Christ, you're awake. Your spirit is alive. They go, what it is about you? I go pray. Some people say, oh, you should have such an energy on you. I don't know. Yeah, energy is the Holy Spirit. But what it is, my spirit has been awakened. And when your spirit is awakened to, I don't have to let sin conquer me for the rest of my life. I can tell sin, go. You don't have to control me the rest of, the chains have been broken off you. It's like slavery. Once this chain was broken, you don't have to be a slave. You're free. You mean I'm free? Yeah, you're free. You got your papers. You're free. Same way when it comes to God. Who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. But Jesus said, I cut the chains of sin. You don't have to do that no more. The devil don't have to control you. The devil like, oh no. They're starting to realize they're righteous. The chains have been broken. Taken away from them. The shackles have been taken off their feet. You don't have to allow it to control you no more. See, a righteous person has authority, boldness. Like I say, that don't mean you're not going to make no mistakes. But you quickly repent so you can have that power with God. As I get old, I want the power with God to be so strong that the devils can, sometimes, like I said, you get around folks, you ain't got to say you're a Christian, but them devils in you can't stand. You go, why they don't like me? I'm so nice and so kind, and they don't let, the spirit ain't written on you. I don't know what it is about you. Christ in you. The hope of glory in you. And that spirit don't want to be cast out. They go, no, please don't come too close to me, because this, I want to stay inside this body. I'm saying we're going to get ready in the service. That's why, you know, the spirit has to have a body to be in, like a demon has to have a body. Like when Jesus came and conquered the earth, the process, how it was set up, if you study spiritual authority, out of white bread and so much stuff, they had to have a body to enter in, which was Mary. The devil, the demon, he want to stay in somebody's body. He don't want to leave. So he don't want him to get around no anointing and no preaching the word and something that they were like, no, stop. Because I want to stay in this body. I want to keep them down and I want to keep them depressed and not happy. I don't want them to be joyful. If you preaching this anointing is removing the burden and destroying the yoke, I don't want them to set free. Because when Jesus sets you free and the preaching of the gospel shows up, the devil says, oh, no, I'm afraid of that. Because there's power. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe the light of the glory of the gospel, unless the light is shined unto them. Once that light shine unto you, then you start saying, oh my God, I ain't got to put up with this no more. No, you don't. You've been made righteous through Christ. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus gave you hope. He gave you a way of escape. All of that. You start saying, my God. And you start getting your spirit awakens.